What's a praise service supposed to be? What's supposed to go on? Well, look at Psalm 111 with me. It's a psalm that gives us great insight into what God thinks of as true praise. The point of the psalm is this. Acceptable praise is a praise that carefully studies the Word of God to teach about the works of God so that people will fear and obey God, which is that which brings great glory to God. The Hebrew word praise, hallel, is one that means to make something shine clear and bright and brilliant to the point that the glory is seen. So the real biblical idea of praise is that we make the truth of God shine clear and bright and brilliant to the point where God's glory is seen. Real praise has nothing to do with emotional outbursts or irrational nonsense. It's nothing to do with our glory. It has everything to do with God's glory. And real praise is about glorifying God by seeing God for whom and what he is. Real praise does not elevate man. It elevates God. Verses 1 through 3 sets the stage for the rest of the psalm. And in these verses, there are six features of those real praise. Real praise gives thanks to God with all one's heart. Look at the first part of verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Should always be that attitude we have when we gather for worship. Real praise is not ever half-hearted, it's wholehearted. And then real praise is in the context of the assembly of the upright people. Look at the second part. In the company of the upright in the congregation. The assembly of upright people refers to those who love God and his word. They love to be taught and challenged, and the assembly may be many or few, but this is where you will find real praise. Real praise is not only concerned about where it takes place, but with whom it takes place. And godly people gather corporately to praise and worship. The potential to truly praise God is dynamic. And then real praise is praise that acknowledges God's works are great. Look at the first part of verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord. God's work cover everything. They include what he has made, what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do. It's interesting that no works are mentioned. So the idea is all the works of God are great. In design and number and size and perfection, all of God's works are great. Don't even know many of the silent, sovereign works of God, but they're great. And then real praise features people who delight in studying God's word and his works. Look at the second part of verse 2. Study by all who delight in them. People right with God love to study the scriptures. They carefully study that they love the word, and that's crucial to praise. Someone said, human things must be known to be loved. Divine things must be loved to be known. Must love to study the scriptures if you are to truly praise God. And that word study means to carefully seek out and examine God's word. It's not a sermonette or this little moral after a fable. It's no greater use of mind and no greater offering of praise than to carefully study the scriptures to know the word and the works of God. When we study the doctrines in the different books of the Bible, we are offering a form of praise to God. And then real praise honors God because his works are splendid and majestic. Look at the first part of verse 3. Full of splendor and majesty is his work. Every work of God may be viewed as splendid and majestic. It's majestic in number and design, purpose and magnitude. Every work of God has divine worth. And then real praise honors God because his righteousness endures forever. Third verse. And his righteousness endures forever. Righteousness is not temporary. It's eternal. God's righteousness endures forever. God is always and will always be righteous. People think they're getting away with their unrighteous, immoral, godless behavior. But you have to know this. The righteousness of God endures forever, and it will track you down. It'll track anyone down. And then we see these works that God has done. He's done memorable works. Look at the first part of verse 4. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. God's works are God's wonders. God has done things, created things, continues to do things that leave people standing in awe of his work. He's done memorable things. He caused a worldwide flood. He parted the sea. He gave his commandments at Mount Sinai. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent his own son into the world. Those are amazing things. And then God is always gracious and compassionate. Second part of verse 4. The Lord is gracious and merciful. In everything about God, there is a grace, an unmerited favor, and compassion, a kind mercy. God is a gracious God and a compassionate God. And God is always provider for those who fear him. Look at the first part of verse 5. He provides food for those who fear him. People who fear God will discover God will abundantly supply for them. David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. Psalm 37:25. We stop thanking God for all he has given to us. We stop worshiping. We also see that God remembers his covenant forever. Look at the second part of verse 5. He remembers his covenant forever. In the Old Testament economy, there was the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and the Davidic covenant. This specific covenant is not named, which means this applies to any covenant God makes. It's true for Israel, it's true for us. What a blessing it is to know that when God enters into a covenant relationship with some nation or individual, it's forever. No matter how confused or distorted one becomes, God will not forget the covenant relationship he has with his people. And a covenant was a legal pact in which God would enter into a legal agreement with someone and promise to do something, legally binding himself to do it. And then God has made himself and his power work known to his people. Look at verse 6. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. That's an interesting verse. God's people have a unique relationship with God and a unique privilege of knowing God's word and works. God's people have a unique sense of the work of God and the future of God. God has only revealed that to his people, and only God's people know that God has the power to accomplish this. God's people learn things from God they cannot learn in any school. The ability to grow in the word and grasp the deep things of God is a unique work of God. Don't ever take that for granted. Understand God's word. God is letting us understand it. And then God's works are all done in the context of truth and justice. Look at the first part of verse 7. The works of his hand are faithful and just. Two great themes are always involved in God's works: truth and justice. No development of God without truth. People can convince others and con others, but they cannot con God. God is a God of truth. And then we see God's words and precepts are all sure. Look at the second part of verse 7. All his precepts are trustworthy. Verse 8, they are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. All the precepts of God are trustworthy and dependable. Not one of God's words will ever fail. So this is God's word needs to be studied, taken literally. What God says is true. He's not playing games. In verse 8, the writer elaborates on it. God's word is upheld forever and ever. God's word is magnified forever. His word is true and upright. People right with God have a reverence for the word of God. And God's work of redemption is forever praiseworthy. Look at verse 9. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The concept of redemption is that one pays the price of ownership. See, who's redeemed? The people of God are redeemed. God sends redemption to his people. He sends condemnation and destruction to those who are not his people. And in verse 10, we even get further insight. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. There's insight there. We should have a look of praise toward God in view of these things. Real praise begins with a fear of the Lord. Real praise has a good understanding of God's word. Real praise obeys the commands of God. And real praise realizes God's praise endures forever.